Hi, this is Anna, and this is Check at the Round Table, where we discuss movies, books, music, and stuff. Today we are discussing why we are not discussing Lovely Rider Episode 3, peeps. I really, as you all know, had great and high hopes for this series, but let's just say Episode 3 made them turn into an absolute and utter dive bomb. Now, I'm not saying that the series could not rise from the ashes, as it were, but we really did hit the nadir of, episodes in Episode 3. I will discuss what is acceptable to discuss on this podcast, but I'm going to put a huge caveat here that this entire series I would never, ever, ever watch with children, and I would probably not watch it again after having watched Episode 3, at least in part, because it's just, But anyway, this episode is basically Gene trying to come to grips with the fact that he likes Nibsub, and also with the fact that his publisher wants him to put things in the book that he does not want to put in the book because he finds them unacceptable, as most people would find them unacceptable, I will say. So anyway, you have Gene having two kind of meltdowns, I would say, one with Nibsub and one with his editor, which in a way are kind of intertwined because he's having a bit of an identity crisis about who he is as a person and who he is in his relationships. And so, I do like parts of Gene. I will be the first to admit there are parts of him that I kind of like. The awkwardness of Gene, the inability to express how he truly feels about something, and to just try to pat things over to make it acceptable for everyone, which never works, I totally kind of get, because I used to spend some of my life doing that for people, trying to be everything they wanted me to be, but then at the end of the day I sat there and went, it doesn't work, and you might as well enjoy your life at the end of the day. Anyway, so... But Gene and Nibsub are having difficulty. Nibsub, I do like his character a lot in many, many ways. I like how he's so open about everything that is going on. Like, there's this point in this episode where Gene and him are in a car together with A, and A goes into the convenience store, and Gene says, you know what, just take my credit card, go get some snacks, da-da-da. And I'm feeling generous today. And Nibsub looks over after A leaves, and he says, Gene, I don't have any problem with you being generous, but from now on, you need to be generous only with me, basically, if we're going to be in a relationship. And I think this is interesting because jealousy is something I never really understood in life. I think it's because I am high-functioning autistic. I don't understand why you'd be jealous of something. Either it's there or it's not. It's not this quasi-thing where someone could take away. It's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not, when you're talking about a relationship. But I think this episode, that one little scene between Nibsub and Gene, helped me understand a little bit more that part of human characteristic, because it's not that, Nibsub is afraid that Gene's going to run off with A. I mean, that's not even a possibility, really. I mean, I guess in the wildest of things it could be, but but the thing is I think when you do care about someone, perhaps, it's not really so much your, well, I guess it would be jealousy, but you care about them to the point that you don't want them, number one, being taken advantage of by other people. And number two, there are certain things that really belong only to the two of you, if that makes sense. And I'm not talking about physical or contact or things like that that we're not going to discuss on this podcast. I'm talking about, like, there are certain things in a relationship, in a dynamic, that work well as a couple and that don't work well with other people. Like, giving A a credit card was not something that you should probably do. Giving Nibsub the credit card, if you have lived together for a very long time and are a couple, totally makes sense. But anyway, I digress. This episode, I would give a whopping negative 10, which is like the opposite on the Richter scale, because it was so darn lousy. I mean, really, it was. The adult content that Anna had to just go skip through, and the basically the issues regarding Gene and his editor, which, if you want to know why I don't review any BL novels, it would be because of this kind of thing. I don't think certain things should be in books. I mean, no offense here. And I figure, you know, if people want to discuss pornographic things, then they should, you know, do that elsewhere, not in certain novels. So anyway, I'm trying to be as G-rated as possible, but that is, I feel very strongly about that. I don't think we should say anything in a book that we aren't proud of. And quite frankly, there's a lot in what I'm seeing that I've heard of in the BL novels that you wouldn't be proud of. And so I don't review those. I do know that there are some that have come out in the recent past, which I think would be totally acceptable. It's like, I think it's quite interesting that a lot of the series I enjoy do come off of a BL novel that I would not read, but they have completely eradicated all the topics that make me not read that book. All the scenes I would consider highly inappropriate that were in the book are not in the dramatization of that book. For example, Love, Life on the Line, I absolutely, totally ship that movie. It's really good, but it was the first BL I ever saw, by the way, so yeah, anyway. But I really liked that series, or that micro series, which they've actually made into a director's cut on Vicky Rukitan. If you have not seen the director's cut of the movie, it is totally worth your time. I'm going to actually this week watch the entire thing, but I watched like the last bit of the director's cut. Completely different, gives you their whole life story rather than an ending when they're in their 39 to 40. And it's a really beautifully done ending. But anyway, I digress. But that is why I do not like Lovely Writer so far. It's really just all this slapstick, surface level look at relationships. And to me, that's a rather hollow way to look at things. I do understand, like, with Gene, the other thing that I really do not like about this production is Nubsev is in his early 20s, Gene is in his late 20s. They're only 8 years apart, peeps. But we have portrayed Gene as kind of the 30-year-old school teacher, as I would call them, in the J-dramas. He's dowdy, he's out of touch with the current styles, he's out of touch with humanity in general because he's past his early 20s. So, oh my goodness, he's got one foot in the grave. I mean, no offense, but he's only 28, peeps. And yeah, he's probably was never the coolest kid on the block. But I think to portray him in this way that makes him seem kind of old and totally freaking out about his age when he hasn't even, I mean, he's not even 30 yet. I don't, you know, weird. I'm going, most people nowadays live until their 80s, so he's got a long time to go. But anyway, so I really don't like the depiction of Gene and how he looks at himself, and then in turn, how he looks at the world and possible relationships. He totally freaks out about everything, and then Uber tries to basically educate himself in ways that are the stupidest ways imaginable to try to educate oneself, and that's all I'm going to say there. But I am really just totally do not like this series. I will most likely, unless they totally pull a rabbit out of their hat, which I am highly doubting they do, will not be rewatching this, will not be recommending it to anyone, because it really is just a total letdown. I mean, I had such high hopes for this spring with the series, and it is just, yeah. Now, there is a new episode coming out this Wednesday. The only thing I could see maybe possibly redeeming the series, as it were, is if when Gene does decide to be a couple with Nubsev, if that helps him lose some of the things that make his character so hesitant, so, you know, awkward, so, you know, trying to do what everyone else wants him to do. Because I think the only way that they could work as a couple is if Gene decides not to give a flip what anyone thinks, which would in turn make this series much more interesting. Because the whole problem with this series, in my opinion, is Jean cares way too much what everyone thinks, from his editor to the world at large. And if Jean could get over that, he could maybe actually write something that was something better than utter trash. And he could also have the life that he's always wanted to have with a person who actually probably does care for him a great deal. I mean, Nubsib, I'm still kind of out on the jury with, because he could be trying to be with Jean because he thinks he's famous and will bring him renown because he's the writer of the series that he's starring in. I could totally see that happening. And I don't mean to think badly about people and say they always have ulterior motives, but oftentimes they do. And sometimes they don't. And when they don't, I always sit there and go, yay, the world's full of one less devil, as they say in the quote, you know? But anyway, I do hope they pull a rabbit out of their hat, but I did take some time before I reviewed episode 3 simply because I sat there and went, I don't know, there's something that rises up inside me. I call it the voice of my Scottish great-grandmother, and I can almost see her head protruding out of my chest going, ugh. And I don't mean it weird. We all have moments when I think the people we have descended from rise out of us and make us do things that we normally wouldn't do. But for me, it's like there are certain lines that I come to in life, and it's like I can see the head of my grandmother rising out of my chest, metaphorically speaking, and going, badly done. Badly done, indeed, as they say in Emma by Jane Austen. And this is one of those times where it's like you sit there and you go, there's really no other words except to say, this is an utter travesty at the moment. Now, could they pull a rabbit out of the hat? Totally. So I'm hoping this Wednesday they pull a rabbit out of their hat. But I'm really not holding my breath on this. And if you really want to see some good BLs this spring, check out the new one called Fighting Mr. Second, and number one for you, binge watch number one if you haven't seen it. I mean, I am totally, totally shipping this series, and not because of the couples, but because, although the couples are very good in this series, but because it is an awesome storyline, the acting is wonderful, and there is minimal corniness or craziness. I mean, everyone behaves like normal human beings in this series, sometimes rather petulant human beings when we're talking about Zhao Shui, but still, they behave like normal human beings. And, you know, if you want to see a good quality BL, try this Taiwanese one, or these two, because number one for you is the sequel to Fighting Mr. Second. Also, you can check out 1,000 Stars. I'm not particularly impressed with 1,000 Stars either. I usually love Thai BL drama, but let's just say the spring has shown me that there is some major lacking in development there for this spring's productions. And so I will be leaving a review of The Thousand Stars episode 7 here later today. But again, it was kind of weird. Lovely Rider was a dive bomb. Thousand Stars this week was a dive bomb. I mean, there were parts of Thousand Stars, which I will talk about in that episode, which were quite good. But overall, dive bomb. So anyway, but Fighting Mr. Second this week, totally awesome. So if you want something that's not a dive bomb, I recommend going over to WeTV or Tencent Video, paying for the premium subscription. It's totally worth it, peeps, and I'm not being paid to tell you that. So because then you can watch all the episodes, including the VIP ones and the good stuff. I mean, not that the other isn't good, but the good stuff is on the VIP. So anyway, but Fighting Mr. Second is excellent. If you have not seen it, check it out. Actually, that podcast I did, this is a very popular series right now. It's been the most listened to podcast I've done in a long while. But if you want to go check out that podcast, you certainly can. It's the one right before this. And there's another one about 3 episodes back that's the first episode's review of Fighting Mr. Second. And that one you could sit down and watch with the whole family for the most part. You might want to skip a couple of scenes, as I stipulate in that in those recordings. But I just would like to say here, Lovely Rider is not so lovely, and I really don't see it improving very much. And if it continues to go down the path that it's been going down, I will probably be leaving another review on why I have decided to just quit reviewing, because I have decided to quit watching, because there are so many other series that I can watch that are good and review that certain things just aren't worth my time. But in case you wanted to know about Lovely Writer Episode 3, you have this review so you can check it out. I believe that the video for this can be found on YouTube. Also, from what I understand, it is being aired on, I believe it's WeTV in Thailand. I cannot get that in my region that I'm living in right now, so I have to watch it on YouTube when it comes out, usually 14 hours after it airs. But you can definitely check that out. Again, I would just say this episode is just worth skipping because it was so darn bad in so many ways. And so there we go. And I do apologize for my voice peeps. It's spring and the allergies have happened and my voice is weird sometimes. So there we go. Check it at the round table. Bye.